discussed by this shir, and by this shir, Be'ezus Hashem, a fascinating discussion. This discussion is the concept of shiduchim. Oh. Right? A shadchan comes, and a shadchan suggests to you a shiduch, and the shiduch actually happens. You'll see this subject is a beautiful, detailed subject, and there's so many interesting halachas in this subject. Now, I mean, firstly, by the way, the Avnezer writes in the Tshuva, and we'll discuss this later in the Shir, that contrary to popular belief, the obligation to pay Shadchanis really belongs to the Chasen and the Kala.
What?
Huh? Not to the parents.
Oh, not to the parents.
That's what the Avnezer writes. But we'll discuss, as the Shir goes along, how it became today that the parents...
Yes,
we'll talk about it, how it became the parents. And there's going to be so many interesting questions. For example, very often you have one shadchan, two shadchanim, three shadchanim. You have one person mentioned the shidduch, and one person actually pushed it through, and one person told you it's a good idea, and then at the end everybody comes to collect. Right? And how do you deal with all the different situations? And very often somebody mentions a shidduch to you, and after they mention the shidduch to you, you would prefer to work with a different shadchan, or similarly with a broker. How do you deal with all these issues? Okay? Now, before we approach the topic of shadchanis, I have a question to ask everybody. Is it a mitzvah to make a shidduch for another person or not? Of course, right? Of course. Not. Everybody says, of course, it's a mitzvah to make a shidduch. What's that? Chesed. The reason why I ask the question is because is it a chesed or is it a bona fide mitzvah, like you can call it, like a mitzvah saseh, like a shavas aveda, a pidyon shviyim? Or is it a mitzvah? It's the right thing to do.
It is a shavas aveda.
If people would only know that, you know. Rav Scheinberg, Zozayin Gesund in Eretz Yisrael, says, Moshel la'odam sha'ovad echad mitzaloisav. He says, people need to search for an aveda, not a mitziah. People look for a mitziah. And they would all be fine. It's a shavas aveda. But it's true. But it's important to realize that if you were out to look in the Torah and say that it's a specific mitzvah to say, you won't really find that. And we'll see soon that there are big nafkaminas in halachas. Oh, so let's take a look at the introduction on page number 2. And again, when I said that you can't call it a mitzvah asay, I don't in any way mean to diminish from the tremendous mitzvah that it is. It's very important. It's very essential in today's day and age. You need to do it. There's a big necessity for it. I'm not diminishing from the mitzvah. But when it comes to the halachas of the mitzvah, as I'll show you soon, there are going to be big nafkaminas if it's a chiv or not. Now, before I even start to read this Shulchan HaEzer that I quote over here, I want to tell you an interesting story that I had a couple of years ago. I had a situation. There was a certain fellow who lived in Antwerp that had two daughters, and I happened to be then in Antwerp on a certain issue. I had to go to Antwerp, and I met this person. He had two daughters. They said they were wonderful daughters, and they were intelligent and everything. And he was a very wealthy man. And a person approached him, and a shadchan said to him, I have a perfect shidduch for your two daughters. And he says, but there's only one condition. I'll read the shidduch on one condition. The condition is that I'll read the shidduch, but you got to give me $50,000 if I make the shidduch. That was his condition. The person said to me, he says, no, absolutely not. I'm not giving him the money. So I said to the person, you know what? Tell me, give him the money. Give him the money. If the shidduch happens, we'll talk about that. Yeah. And Baruch Hashem, the shidduch happened. And now, well, I didn't say what I told him to do at the end.
No, I'm saying no. You do that, you miss that. You made a condition.
Is it a condition? Is it not a condition? Wait, slow down. We're gonna approach this a lot. You'd be very surprised to realize that he probably does not have to pay him $50,000 at the end. Okay? So just to pique your interest into where we're going with this up. Okay, now, first question. Look at that Shulchan HaEzer, and he'll quote our discussion that we just had, that it's a big mitzvah, and it's a very special thing to do, but you can't truthfully call it a mitzvah. Ayin B'yalkat Shemayim, the top line on page number 2. Parshas Yisrael, Simin Reish Ayin Tes. This that Moshe Rabbeinu was zoichet to have the koran arponav, that his face lit up. Mishim shahayis sir, he was a broker. Mishadchen, he was a shadchen. Ben Yisrael, between the Yidden, Lashem Yisbarach, Lashem Yisbarach. Ayin Sham. The Muchach Tzatz, interesting wording, it seems to be Muchach, the Ike Tzatz mitzvah. It is a sort of a mitzvah. L'shadech Bita Yisrael, to marry off the Jewish daughter. Zel Zeh, the Jewish children want to each other. V'gam Shaykh Be'inyin Zeh Tzatz, also there's another important mitzvah, like you mentioned before, right? It's the Inyan of Chesed, Dovka Boy, that you have to connect yourself to the Midas of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Dorshi Chazal, Hadveg B'mizoysov, Imavoy B'medrash Rav, Pash Tzav, Medrash Rav, Pash Tzav tells us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem, Me'eshavar Alem B'zav Yizivugim, right? Everybody learned Masech the Sanhedrin, the famous Gemara, when the Mashra Nisa approached one of the Amoraim and said to him, B'mayka Osek Mar, what does Hashem do all day? And what did he say? Hashem is Yoyshev, B'zav Yizivugim, Hashem sits and he makes Shiduchim, that's what he does all day. So, what happened? So the she said, big deal, I can do the same thing. And she took 500 of her slaves and servants, and she just made 250 shidduchim, and the next morning she asked them to come down to her for a report, how they're doing, and she saw black eyes and brown eyes and broken arms, and then she realized that Hashem, being able to put together shidduchim, is something which is quite impressive. Now, it's quite obvious that when you do a shidduch for a person, you have to pay. Well, I shouldn't say that yet. Why is it so obvious? We'll discuss soon. What?
I've never heard that before we came. I mean, we don't have that.
That what?
Our community.
Right.
Somebody makes a shidduch, you have to pay.
You don't have to pay in your community? I will grant one thing to you.
Where we were brought up, not here, you know, in the old country.
It was not that way. I will say to you that the Pesach Shuva brings down, there was a minhag in certain medinot that they didn't pay. But, however. Well, once, we'll get to that soon. No. If you came from, slow down. If you came from a community, when that community, and this is exactly what I want to discuss, there was an acceptance that everybody did a shidduch for free, then it was something that you did for free, except when it was spoken beforehand that you're going to take money. However, I will tell you that most communities it was not that way. And most communities there was a system. And there were takanot, how much the first person gets who mentioned the shidduch, and how much the person that actually carried the shidduch through. In your community today, is there?
I'm not sure.
They pay.
But I know what he said is give buy a gift or something. But now we can like them all money.
I know that in our community.
Some people don't.
Some people still don't.
Some people do it professionally. Some people do it as a friend.
Some people still do it to chesed. Okay, good. I know that in our circles, just about nobody does it anymore as a chesed.
There are people who do it.
My father does shidduchim all day long, and he spends a lot of time, and he never charges.
That's a special chesed. So that, fascinating. I was looking, I saw it. What's that?
Never
dawned upon him.
But I'll
start to show you soon, as we're going to go through the subject, that according to that, in most places, they did pay. And most places, even if they didn't discuss a price, if you had an issue and you made a shidduch for another person, and the person, you asked him for money, he didn't pay you, you took him to Din Torah, and then he had to pay. So it's very, very interesting. But, again, he's 100% right. If the rule that community was that they didn't pay, they didn't pay. And by the way, it's fascinating that you're telling me that even now that they do pay in certain circles, do you have a set rate? You'll see, it's going to be tremendous different afkaminas and halacha. If there's a set rate or there's no set rate. So good, excellent. Listen, let me first show you what the Levush writes. What do you do if you read a shidduch for another person?
All the way back. Levush means go all the way back. People
I'll show it to you in the Ramah. I'll show it to you in the Gra. I'll show it to you quite far back. That they did pay. Huh? Yeah, you're going. I'll show it to you easily 500 years ago that they paid for shidduchim. I want to show you what the Levush said was the practice in his by certain rabbonim. If you did a shidduch and they didn't pay, I want to show you what the Levush says they did. You're going to see what you're going to think it's like. Listen to what he writes. Okay, Levush says as follows. He says, "Ashaken sipel lefona." I heard the story. Dava hafle betamia. I heard something shocking. A person put his efforts into shatchonis, with tremendous effort. V'rapa hoitzoyis, right, with effort. Ad ki nemel adevik toif, right, they made it to Noim and they got engaged. Ben Hatzodim. V'heim negidu ha'meni, both sides are wealthy people. Now, can I go skip over a line?
That's something else.
What's that?
That's another point.
They have the ability to pay. They can afford it. There's nobody here that can't afford to pay. V'ata now, ashizman, klilas, chupasam, dova kal b'neim. So what suddenly happened? It became a dova kal, easy by them. Lifter to become pot and not to want to pay schar shatchonis bedova muid. You know what they say? We'll get him a nice gift. That's what they said. We'll buy him a gift instead of shatchonis. Ashe kimat einoy oyle l'sach ha'itzoyis. It just about doesn't equal to the investment, the time, the phone calls he made, the whatever investments he made into getting the shidduch to happen, it doesn't even equal that. Hachinishma kezois li'oyle aloy seset aloy sashoik. So Yehush says, you don't pay shatchonis, you don't pay shatchonis. Okay? There's a major discussion in the Poskim. If you don't pay shatchonis, when is baltolin? Is baltolin, when is the time they have to pay shatchonis? Do you have to pay by the engagement? Do you have to pay before the marriage? Okay? And by the way, it's a very interesting discussion, a very unfortunate discussion. If you did a shidduch, and after you did the shidduch broke off, what's going to be the halacha in that type of situation? Can you ask back for your money? That's going to be another discussion, but that we won't cover in this share. So you hear so far what the Lavush says. Okay, I'm just happy to see, because you know they say Rav Chaim Biskin one time they bought him the korkovin, right? The korkovin is the gizzard, the stomach of a chicken, right? And they bought him a stomach of the chicken. He was so excited, and he started to dance with the stomach of the chicken. And he says, "Oh, the heilige korkovin, the holy korkovin." Because his whole life he's learning about the korkovin, and then he sees this is the holy korkovin, he finally found it. I, Baruch Hashem, always learned that there were certain communities that didn't take shatchonis, and in those communities you don't have to pay. And I'm happy to see, Baruch Hashem, that you know that community. It's your community, which is very, very... Again, you say at least the community from where you came from. Today you can't...
Syria.
From Syria. Today you can't confirm to me that that's the present in the high.
When we were growing up, it wasn't that much. But they're learning from that.
What's that?
When we grew up, nobody charged money.
There's nobody.
Shiduchim.
No shiduchim, because people met each other.
No, I understand.
It was not as necessary to prearrange. But did they pay a shadchan?
There was no somebody that was.
Yeah, but Sai makes an interesting point. It could be there was no official shadchan because the Sai was so it wasn't necessary.
In Syria, there was shadchan.
In Syria, they had.
Otherwise, they wouldn't meet.
There's no social. You should ask your grandfather. If that was the accepted norm that they didn't pay.
Even when we were growing up, I don't think even here.
But Simon is suggesting that the reason was because it wasn't necessary to find shidduchim. So that's why it wasn't a marketable item.
Like
what's that?
Grandparents, they know.
There was more done sort of internally. That's how they prearranged it. So maybe there wasn't a market for it. But look at this. Look what he says. He says now. He says, and then he quotes the tshuva of the Panim Meiros that has extensive tshuvas on what's the halacha if two people do a shidduch from two different cities and there's a different going rate in each of the two cities. Like which city do you pay? Like so that's a different discussion which we're not going to discuss right now. Go to the bottom line of the page and look what he says to do if you did a shidduch and the party doesn't pay. I think the shatchanim would be very excited to hear this line. Ilani is daiti, the bottom line. The rav imoira asher mishpat sidur kedushin shayach ledigloi. The rav that gets the obligation, and he's the one that has the rights to the sidur kedushin. Oy rav imoira asher yischabit the sidur kedushin, right? Because historically, sidur kedushin belonged to the rav of the community. Today it became different to give it to the Rosh Hashivas in many places, but historically it belonged to the Rav of the community. But he says even if they gave it as a kavod to somebody, he says as follows, Lo yigash v'lo yikrav l'sadei kedushin, he should not be m'sadei kedushin, ad ki yishalmi b'shlemis. Until the parties pay the sidei kedushin, don't make the wedding. Until the parties pay the shatchanis. But listen to this. He says, v'kva nahagi, and this is with the minik, Moirei Haroa, by many Rabbonim, the Sadri Kedushin, She'ain Oysen Maisa Sidi Kedushin, Achi Yishalmi L'Shatchem, Keminik HaMokim, Im B'yoyke Oy B'zol. That's the bottom line what he says. It's a lot of money, it's a little money, it's something, just don't let the marriage wait if they don't pay the Shatchem. That's what he says. Okay, so now you definitely see that there was a concept in many, many circles of shatcholis. There clearly was such a concept, and they clearly did pay to the extent that Levush is telling us, you hold back the wedding if the people don't pay. I've never heard of a story that anybody would hold back the wedding. I will tell you that people repeat in the name of the stipla. I never read it inside that the stipla said this, that people who didn't pay shatcholis had issues with children. Again, I don't know. I've seen this, but I've never actually. What's that? Maybe the Shatchan were the ones that pushed this. Do you have any more booklets? Pass it around the booklets. So again, it could be the Shatchanim went and they told us to everybody. I will tell you that Reb Chaim Kanievsky, I heard about an interesting minhag that they have in their family. One thing is clear. If the person that does the shidduch for you is a family member, like it so happens to be today that the minhag is that for a friend or a family member that's not very, very close, you pay them shatchanos. But if it's a family member that's really close, like a son for a father for a son, there the minhag is not to pay. However, I know that Reb Chaim Kanievsky, I've heard that they have a minhag in their family, that if a family member does a shidduch, even if it's one where they usually don't pay, they say, here, take your money, and then they get it back. Because they don't want to be considered that they didn't pay shatchanos. Ati lekach, people have been concerned. Now, even if I was to go and make a shidduch for my own family member, so while I would not collect from my family, on the other hand, from the other side, from the mechutanim, right, from the girl's side or from the boy's side, there I can collect again. So don't forget that. It only is a p'tur on half of the shidduch. It's not a p'tur on the whole shidduch.
Okay, p'tur on half the money or on the full?
No, each side, excellent question. Each side has an obligation to a certain number.
How much?
Or a certain number. So now this is going to depend. This is what we were discussing before. There are communities where there is a going rate for shatchanos. Wait. There are communities that have a going rate for shatchanos, and those communities that have a going rate for shatchanos, so there it will be that the party, the father of the, again I'm saying the father because that became the practical way of paying. How much is it? I once did my research on this topic because I had a few dentures in this area, believe it or not, and I myself wanted to know what is considered the going rate. Again, I can't vouch for every community. When I was told that in average families, I'm not talking about for wealthy families, and it could be this two rates for average families and wealthy families, that's debatable, but the average family, which means not wealthy people, give approximately $1,500 per side. Yeah, per side. The chassan side and the kala side. Now, but I wanted to tell you that let's say there are a few shatanim, so then that you don't have to give more because it's a few shatchanim. You have your same $1,500 and you'll split it, but how do we split it? Who's considered the main shatchan? Who's the second? Who's the third? Who's the fourth? That is already going to be a future discussion. Okay.
What happened to like doing a chesed for somebody?
Oh, so I said it's a chesed, and they told us right away that in the Syrian community, historically, they did not pay.
We never knew from these things.
You never do anything.
This is only a modern creation.
No, I'm going to show it's not modern. I'm going to go back. I'm going to show it to you 400 or 500 years ago.
They're learning it from Ashkenazim.
I don't know. Well, do you know what has been done by the other Saradim? You know, I will say one thing. It could be, that might be a fair statement, by the way, that it's an Ashkenaz thing, not a Sfarad thing. And I can tell you why there might be a
fair statement. I don't know about Sfaradim. I know Syrian community by us.
No, but I'm
never. We never ever charged until like maybe 10 years ago, 15 years ago.
When people
started becoming more frum and they got
spooked. Somebody told me about
they started.
I was married already for 15 years. I mailed the guy a check with a letter. I said, you know, somebody told me I have to pay.
And you paid him. And somebody told me this week. I discussed the topic of shatchanos. A person approached me Sunday morning, a person approached me after the shir, and he told me that he did a shidduch for a certain person living in Lakewood, who was presently one of the dayanim, one of the batidinim there, and the person's father paid him 15 years ago shatchanos, and he got 10 years later a letter in the mail from the son that I reviewed the subject, and I see my father really owed you more money, and he sent him a check. So he figured that there's something wrong there. That, like you mentioned, they have some personal issues. He looked into it. There's nothing wrong, and there are no problems whatsoever. The person simply learned the halacha, and he felt that he has to pay more. Now, I will grant to you 100% that according to the halacha, if there is a din Torah, and there is a community where the minhag in that community is that you do it for free, then you have to do it for free. Except if you specifically made a tanai. However, I will also tell you that I'm going to show you from the Rama, and the reason why I said it, you might be right with what you said, that by the Saradim, you said the Syrians, but I might say, I would even accept if somebody told me by the Saradim, because there are three times in Shulchan Aruch where the Rama mentions as an attachment to a Mechaba, V'hi Adil L'Shavcha. Three times. But to the best of my memory, the Mechaba in Shulchan Aruch and Mishpat doesn't mention a Shavcha. He talks about a Sarsir, a broker. But he doesn't talk. The Rama, three times when the Mechaba speaks about a Sarsir, he adds the Shavcha.
Maybe the reality was that in Europe they were scattered and they needed the Shulchanim to be much more.
Right.
It's a lot more work to do Shulchanot while in. Lived in bigger cities.
In the bigger cities. I think there was a different element. That was the element that many of you mentioned before, that there were communities that made a decision that as a chesed, right, like you said, what happened to chesed, it was the appropriate thing to do. And they didn't charge shadchans. But I'm telling you, most communities charged. Historically, most communities did charge. I want to read to you, I think it's important for us now to step back for a moment and say to ourselves, hold on. There's an obligation for shadchans. We're removing those cities for a couple of moments. In the average city where people do pay, I approached you and I read a shidduch, right? Did I tell you that I'm going to charge you money at the end? No. Why do you have to pay? Wow. I'll broaden the discussion. I approached you and I say, listen, you have a building, you're trying to sell it. I can sell it to you. I meet another guy in the shul and I say, listen, do you want to buy the building? I make a shidduch, right? I broker a building between two people. But I'm not a broker, I'm not a professional, you never signed anything by me. Do you owe me a brokerage fee or not?
In the world of business, yes. It's called find the fee.
Let's talk about the world of Torah. The world of Torah. Specifically Torah.
But essay.
Yeah, okay. But let's discuss this from a Torah perspective. It's an extremely important discussion. Take a look at page number 3. Look at page number 3 and you'll see there's the Rama. Take a look at the Mechaba. The Mechaba says, yes, Mishalim, some say, Shehamaske, Shem, Shemaim, Levatola, Shekenegda, Nishba, Benoitel. Okay, it's a discussion regarding Shuls. Dr. Rama, I go. The Rama tells us, Tovoy Bishar HaShatchonis. A person approaches his friend and says, I did a shidduch for you. You got to pay me for the shidduch I did for you. So do you pay? Don't you pay? Okay, Bezek Kofa, Ba'omish Loyal Shatchen Shaloy, Shatan Hashemeneu, Dinek Bishatvi, it's Momel, Vinishbom, Akah. So the Rama says that a tfiyah of shatchonis is considered a tfiyah and you're obligated to pay. So the Gra asks on this Rama, he says, one second. If the Rama says as a given that you can ask money for shatchonis, the only issue here in the Rama is if you are a shatchon or if you're not a shatchon, so therefore you have to swear. But the Rama accepts as a given that for shatchonis you're obligated to pay. Where does the Rama get that concept from? Where do you get it from? Look at the Gra. Bira Gra, Kuf Yud Zayin, Tovoy, Din HaShadchones, Kosav Merom, Shehu Midin, Hayoyed, Lesoda Chaveya, Shaloy Bishus, Shemois, Soda, Asi Elita, Shomen, Kama Oda Broitza, Litin, Besoda Ze, Lenoito, which means as follows. You are on vacation, right? You're spending the summer in Deal, New Jersey. And I, in the middle of the summer, one night, when I know you're not home, I'm a gardener, and I plant some beautiful trees in front of your house. Or I take some paint, or I take some bricks, and I brick face the front of your house. I redo the front of your house. Then you come home, and you see the beautiful garden, and you see the beautiful bricks, and you see me in front, and I hand you a bill for doing the work. Do you have to pay me, or don't you have to pay me? You say no? What do you mean? You don't have to pay me? I made your house so beautiful.
I didn't ask you to.
Really? Listen, take a look at the Mechaba. This is the Mechaba. The Mechaba agrees to this halacha. And that's why I said clearly that it has to be a minhag not to pay. Because Stam is like one person that does another person a favor. And you got hanoah because of me, you're obligated to pay. That's the aloha. That's why I specifically said that it has to be a community where the minig is not to pay. If there's no minig, then you have to pay. Okay, take a look. Look at the Mechaber says, skip down two pieces. Simon, Shin, Ayin, Hey, Sif, Aleph. All right, Alan, take a look at the Mechaber. Look what he says. Hayor l'toich sodach haveirim. I go into your field. Shaloi b'shus without permission. V'nata, I plant things here. Imhoise sodah ha'asiyalita. If it is a field, which usually you plant, it's a garden. It's not an area that you don't plant. Oimdin, you assess. Kam adam roitza litin b'sodah zul anoyta v'noytum b'al ha'sodah. Then einas, now 1 second, let's go a step further. How about, so you have to pay. And then the Mechaber continues. V'im eina asiyalita. Let's say, it's not supposed to be made into a garden, still you have to pay. But you have to pay a lesser fee because you have to pay the minimum, which means, depends if it's shvach, it's yes, ala yitzia, yitzia, yes, ala shvach, the minimum number. But a minimum number, you have to pay me for my work, shamaloi, but you're the altaf toilet. So you go into a new business, you're going to go to everybody's house in the middle of the day, and you're gonna start planting things, and you'll do very well. When you have no business, you'll do that, right? Well, first of all, you have to take money like the lowest gardener, the cheapest gardener. And secondly, if the person says he doesn't want it, so then shamalevi al tahtoina. So it's not such a big mitzvah. But the bottom line is, and this is what you need to read from this Mechaber, that the Mechaber said to you clearly, when I come into your property, and I'm a shliach your property, you need to pay me. And more than that, it's yode al tahtoina, and you have to give me the lowest amount because you don't want it. But let's say you show that you do want it, right? You take a look and you see the beautiful garden, and then you call the gardener and you say, you know, I'm missing 2 trees. If you put another 2 trees at the end, so then it'll look perfect, the garden. So now you got to pay me the higher price. Right? That's the aloha. Notice everybody's looking at me like, where does this aloha come from? So we need a few weeks. We can go through the famous ksois and the famous netzivis. Is it from the Torah's Memoini Gaboch, Mishtashri? I don't know. I'm sure you've all gone. This is ready for the yeshiva days. This will be a long, long discussion until we figure out exactly where this aloha comes from. But the bottom line is, there's a mission in the end of the Sefer Bava Kamma. Now, let's go a step further. Hayoyed l'toich sodach haveir shaloi b'shus. You go into another person's field without permission. V'nota, oibonu v'achach bo balasod v'hishlam ha'binyin. That's when I told you, you added a few trees, you finished the binyin. Oy shesham ha'natiz chiyotze be'ele ha'dvorim, shemar shalat enoit l'ma sha'oysa. Then, shamaloi v'yode al ha'el yoyna. Got it?
If he doesn't have money to pay.
Fine, so you can't tell me I have to pay right now. It'll become like a regular bachoy. You owe the money. You owe the money.
That's
money.
Because the MBA
sold it also lita. Fine, so if it's also lita, so you pay the higher amount. If it's not also lita, you pay the lower amount. But you have to pay. You have to pay. Now, let's talk about shatchanis. Let's talk about shatchanis specifically. All right? What happened was, you approached me and you ran the yeshidah. You did for me a service. If you did for me a service, and we'll talk in a second if it's, like you said, osalita, not osalita, you have to pay. Read this Ramah, the middle Ramah on the page. You have to see this. V'chein, and similarly, so stay on page number 3. Kol odom sho'oysen chaveiro pu'ulo oitoivo. I approach you, I tell you who to sell your building for, I tell you who to shatchan off your child to when the child gets married.
Who is the shatchan? Well, that just gives you the name of the person that came does the deal.
It's a beautiful discussion. That I'm going to discuss the next year. I'm not going to get to that in this year. What happens when 15 people come and they claim that they shot him and I said nice information about you and I did this and I did that. That's already the and what happens when you read the shidduch and the couple weren't interested in each other, but they mentioned your name to the next person, so you still want to get royalties on that too. And what happens when you don't like who the shatchan is, and you want to, therefore, since you don't like the shatchan, you want to pick a different shatchan, and then the first one comes back and says you had no right to do that. That is going to be all in the next year. But I'm first trying to go through the basic sources that in why in most communities they did pay shatchanis, even when there was no discussion, and I'm showing you the sources here. V'chein, kol adam sho'oysem chaveir pu'ulo, oitoivo. L'yuchal layim b'chinim asisei madi. A person did a favor for you, and it's a marketable favor. You can't say you did it for me for free. Hoyol b'loitzi v'sicha, because I didn't ask you to do it. El tzorach litloi. And if you take a look, on that mechaber, that we just mentioned from the Mechaber in Shin Ayin Hey, the next one, of going into another person's field without permission and doing work, Zokter Ramah, You have to pay in all these issues. Now, what's that? Go ahead.
I'll answer a question. In other words, you give somebody a ride from here to Avenue L.
So you want to get paid for your ride after
everything
the ride.
I'm saying every service you give, so every Tovah you're going to do, Allah, give me money. I give you my feeling.
$5. Well, mitzvah is nisha. Mitzvah is nisha. You can't. We had a whole shiur last week that a mitzvah you can take him without permission.
No, about so but I'm just saying, give him a ride. It's dugma.
Dugma. I'm gonna ask you a different question. I'm at, because now you're going into the discussion that Reb Ezra told us. But I want to ask you a different question. I'm driving to Lakewood, and I put up a sign in the shul. But the sign the shul says that whoever wants a ride to Lakewood should come with me. Or no, differently. I put up a sign in the shul that I'm looking for a ride to Lakewood. And you say, yeah, I'm going to Lakewood, I'll take you along. And then at the end, I ask you to chip in for the tolls. Most people don't do that because it's not nice. But the reality is, do you have to chip in for the tolls? You were looking for someone to give you a ride. And you got the ride.
What's that? Don't they say
that?
Is that a concept?
You want to say Zen Ehenu
Vezel Lechos? The way he was going there. No. What is the guy who's having
extra gas, not really Zen Lechos. But Zen Ehenu Vezel Lechos doesn't work when you ask me to do something for you. You ask me to come fix a light bulb in your house.
Well, Zen Ehenu Vezel Lechos doesn't have to ask you sometime.
Yeah, but if a person approaches another person and says, do a favor for me. So then it becomes something which you need to pay for. Again, I hear your point. I think that if a person gave you a quick ride from here to a couple of blocks over, so then it
why
becomes
not?
Like
it's
the case
with
the community that nobody charged. No, but again,
it's
in the community.
You went to a service, you just said a concept, service.
Except when there's an agreed upon mechila in the community. So then you can't charge. If like it's an ungula that nobody charges for a certain service, you can't charge for it. But a general service where a person does do a favor and it's marketable, you have to pay.
So how many times your neighbor, you come, you help your neighbor with something else?
That's not marketable. You can't, if you ask me to carry a box in for you, I can't charge you for that. That's not marketable. Brokerage is a marketable service. You understand? So it's very different.
We're talking only about brokerages.
I'm talking about a marketable service. A service that in the world they charge money for. There are matchmakers and there are brokers. There are people that do this for a living. I don't know if people that help people. There's nobody that's for a living helps people from their car into the house with the groceries. You understand? It has to be something that you can do for a living. I'm speaking about the Ru Alocha. Now, the question which why are they usually dintayrs by Shidduchim? I'll tell you what the dintayrs are about. Okay. The first classic case that happens is that a person approaches his friend and he says, I would like to read a shidduch to you, but I'm going to do it for free. Right? I'm going to do it for free. No, what's the halacha in this case? If he said clearly he's doing it for free. Huh?
Free.
It's free. No question about it. Look at the Chut HaShani. He's a Rishon. You see, the Chut HaShani, by the way, who's, if you go back even earlier than the Rambam, except that also you have to pay for Shachanis. And the bottom piece, he says, the world has a minute to say, Shatchen Sha'oma, a Shatchen that said, a Shadach Loch Shidduch, Ploini Bechinam, I'll do a Shidduch for you for free, police Chah without payment. Apple became a Chuy Vlitin Schori. The world says you gotta pay anyways. Huh? That's what the world says. He argues, he's gonna argue with this. He says, it's absolutely incorrect. Okay, so he says, the Engel is a Shogish Vehik Klaal. There's no source for this whatsoever. The Talmud, a Bishum Poisik. I say, let's cut this out. And similarly, by a broker, if somebody approaches you and somebody says to you, I'm going to do a service for you, the service will be for free. So what's the halacha? The service is for free. Period. Okay, that we'll all agree on. Now let's talk about the case which usually we do. Somebody approaches you and he says to you, I'll do a shit for you. He starts to do the shidduch for you, and as the shidduch is moving along, suddenly he realizes, oh, this is taking a lot of work. So he approaches you somewhere down the road, and he says, I never meant to do it for free, I want money. Right? You know the story that happened by the Noid Yehuda? The Noid Yehuda story was a person was a miller that was doing the shidduch, and halfway through the shidduch, he went, and he turned to the parties, and he says, listen, I promise to do it for free, but if you guys don't pay me a fortune of money, I'm going to come and ruin the shidduch. It's like extortion. So there was a whole issue how to deal with this person. So they promised him money. And then afterwards, there was a din Torah if they have to give him the money they promised him in the middle that he shouldn't ruin the shidduch. That was an interesting question. Even a more fascinating tshuva, because I don't think there's two tshuvas. I want to tell you two stories. There's two, three questions I want to share with you, and then we'll start to take apart these questions and halacha. I have here a tshuva, which is the Milchas Yechiel. It's on page number 7. I'll just tell you the story that he had. Listen to his story he had. He had a story that Reuven made a shidduch for Shimon's child, and Shimon paid him. After Shimon paid him, here's the next thing that happened. The shidduch broke. But he had the money already, and he couldn't return it because he spent it already. And he doesn't really have to return it, because the shatan's job is to... There are cases. Let's not discuss broken shidduch right now. No. Let's discuss when to pay and if you get back the money at another shiur. I'm not going to talk about that now. It's too lengthy of a discussion to... There's too many rules in that to just discuss it so quickly. So he went and he did the shidduch. But he felt bad. So he approached Shimon and he said, listen, Reb Shimon, tell you what, I'll do a shidduch for your next child, but the next one I'll do for free. That's what he said. That was his way of making him feel good. And sure enough, he did a shidduch for his next child. After he did the shidduch for his next child, he approached him and says, you know, I only did it for you for free because I thought it would be as easy as the first. But now that I realize how much work the second one was, right? You see, the first one he put so little work into it, that's why it's broke. But the second one, that was so much more work went into it, for this one I want to charge. So what's the aloha in this case? Right? Slow down. You start to go through that beautiful mesivus and choices on these questions, right? But you have to go through each one of these questions slowly. I want to read to you also. There's a tshuva written in the Sefer Maria Levi, which was written in the 1800s.
You don't get disgusted from this.
Huh?
This is foreign to us.
I want to tell you something which I've said years ago. I think I said it once by this shir. When I sit by a din Torah, I don't usually notice the people. I walk out, I usually say, the Rashba says this way, the Rambam says this way. And that's usually when I hear the arguments, and then after I hear the arguments, I start to think about the different Shuvot and the different Rishonim and the Gemaras that are on this topic. I find these topics fascinating because you'll soon go back together with me into the Nesivis to try to figure out the answer to this question. You'll forget the story in a couple of moments. Take a look at this Tshuva. There's a Tshuva I printed from the Maria lady, and it's page number 4. Look at this Tshuva. It says as follows. He says, "Mechtava pigiani bedove ish echad oshe godel vekamtsin." There was a certain man that was very rich and he was very cheap. Right, that's an interesting combination. Maybe that's why he got so rich, this person. Page 4, the second shuva, do you have it? Oh, it was taken out. So fine. It's not on you. I apologize, you don't have it. I'll read you the shuva, but that's fine. What's that? The Nesivis you have. I'll read that in a second, but the Maria Halevi you don't have. I'll read you the question and I'll go back to the devote. Just a second. He says, Ish echad oshe godel vekamtsin sheyesh lei ben, he had a son. Ibo elav echad v'omaloi, he said, ani yedeya ki kamtsin ata, I know you're a very cheap person. So you know what, for you, atzir lefnei bincha shidduch, I'll mention to you a shidduch, but v'loi ekach schar shatchonis mitzitcha, I'll only take money from the other side, the other side I'll do it for free, because I know you're a cheap person. That's what he said. V'heshev loi, and not to be outdone, this wealthy man responded, for no money we can talk. That's his response. For free, I'm willing to speak. It sounds like a good shidduch. And then they met, he says, and then suddenly, as the shidduch is going, so what happened? The shatkin comes back, and he says, now you got to give me a large amount of money. And so the rich man said, I'll give you the set going rate. He says, no, absolutely, I want a large amount of money. So what happened was, Ashes Ruve, now the wife of the cheap man was there, and she didn't want the shidduch to get broken. So she made a shvua that she's only going to give him, that he's only entitled to the set rate, he's not entitled to more. And anyways, this became the whole issue. And then it came to the Maria lady with a question, how much do you have to pay? The issue over here was that the wife promised. He himself, the cheap man, even at the end, the kamtsan, didn't actually promise with his own mouth. He, at the end, all he did was he listened to his wife promise and he nodded his head. There's an issue what his involvement is. The Maria at the end says it's immaterial because the going rate has to pay anyway. So the whole discussion is not a discussion which is a negating discussion, except in your case that you mentioned.
Okay. Why does he have to pay the going rate if they just said before that? If they say they're doing it for free,
then
no, he said he's doing it. He said he's doing it for free.
Right.
But here's the question. Okay, this is why I want to read in the seats. The classic question that I've dealt with is in communities where the minig is to pay, or where there's no minig. I'll tell you a fascinating question. A person approaches you, and he says to the Rav, "Listen, I read my friend Shidduch, and when I did so, my intentions were to do it for free. That was his Dvarim Shebelev, to do it for free. But afterwards, when I realized that it was so much work, I made a decision to charge him. Halfway through doing the Shidduch. Can he charge or can he not charge?"
No,
no, no, they're going great. We're not talking about a change price.
But if you talk about it,
I didn't say anything. I'm telling you, in case you didn't say it. I, in my mind, intended to do it for free. And after I intended to do it for free, I changed my mind in middle. And now I'm admitting to the Rav, who the person who's doing the Dintaira, that at the onset of the Shidduch, my intention was to do it for free. Can you charge or can't you charge? Listen to this Nesivus. And after we learn this Nesivus, we'll discuss this. Nesivus says as follows. Mechila ain't tzarach kinyan.
There's a Gemara that one rabbi, he was in the middle of tefillah, and he thought to sell it for something, and he said no,
yeah,
and then
that's
he kept, I'll give you 100, I'll give you 200.
But that's not an obligation for the regular, for the hamayna. That's not an obligation for the regular people. That's for the very, very high people. Okay, but you can't, in a dintaira, you can't force...
You can't force
people to keep that. So look what it says over here. It says Mechila in Tzorach Kinyan. Kosaf Harashals, the Oma Teveya, the Teveya said, Shahoye Bedata Limchaloi, if I went and I did somebody, let's talk about all of those brokerage and all those different cases. And I did something for another person, I intended to do it for free. And I admit I intended to do it for free. But he says that Sheroitze. Now I want to take the comma, and I decide at the end I want to charge him. I want his money. So you get to the end of the shidduch, and you see what kind of beautiful wedding the person makes, and how much money he's spending. You say, nah, this is no chesed, let me get my money, I can use the money. The mechila b'machshava have a mechila. So if your intention was to have mechila b'machshava, it's considered a true mechila. What? So he says, you see, you don't go after the machshava. So the Ktois disagrees, and the Nesivus also disagrees that your mechila in your mind is nothing. However, now listen to these words very well. Omnam nire. Now comes along the Nesivus, and he says, V'davke mechila al hadova shekvan eschayiv loy loy mahani. If I already did something for you, and you owe me the money already, so my dvarim shebelev is nothing. But if when I do it in the first place, I intend to do it for you for free, so then there's no eschayvus. It becomes like I'm doing a matana for you right away up front. So that's not dependent on this question of mechila belev, and that the person does not have to pay. Right? So he says, for example, I approach you and I say, live with me, come eat a meal with me. So now let's go back, and let's address the questions that we're discussing. Number one, when I intended to do a shidduch for you for free, right? So, what's the halacha? So it's for free, but it's not true. Why is it not true? Because what might be for free is only the expense for suggesting the shidduch, because I did that for free. But since I told you that most of the money that's paid is for actually doing the legwork and pushing the shidduch through, so for that you can change your mind because the time of payment never actually happened. So now, let's talk about the case that the Maria Levi discussed, and the case I mentioned from the Night of Yehuda, and that other tshuva I told you. If I said I'll do a shidduch for free for you, but before the shidduch is closed and completed, I change my mind. I still have the ability to charge you, because I'm charging you for the legwork until the completion. Okay? So you definitely could suddenly turn around and charge money for that service. So that's number two. And furthermore, in all of these cases, so for example, the case that Maria Levi discusses, when the person's originally said he's going to do it for free, and then he changed his mind, and his wife agreed, he says, what's the difference what his wife said? The person at the end changed his mind, and even if you want to say he made a commitment to do it for free, the commitment's only for the beginning of the shidduch. He doesn't have to continue to work. He can back out. So for the rest, he has to pay.
But the one who wanted to do for the second son, he's a shadchan by trade. He knows what the lead work is. All of a sudden, you go and tell me what you.
Some are easy and some are difficult.
Right.
Yeah, but he's a shatran. He knows something.
Then we have a more complicated question. There, the question is. Here, you have a totally different question in your case. The question is that when he backed out, he never told him. In other words, when I told you I'll do it for free, and then I backed out in my mind without telling you until after the shidduch is complete, so that's Dvarim Shebaleh. No, so how do we deal with that situation? And it's Dovah Shloi Baloilam. It's Mechilan of Dovah Shloi Baloilam. Okay, we'll discuss that. That's a bit complicated, this question. But what I want to talk about by the next year is, Be'ezus Hashem, to do those two discussions, how do you split when there are many shachonim and they all want money? And the next question I want to discuss, which I'll discuss before that, I didn't discuss yet the $50,000 question. The person that actually promised to give the money, if he has to pay or not. And I said the answer is no, he doesn't have to pay the money. But there are seven exceptions when he would have to pay the money. So that we'll discuss at the next shiur, exactly when you don't and how you do have to pay the money on that.